We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran, from the holy city of Qom, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The topic of the program is a continuation from what we spoke in previous sessions, which is about Islam and politics. And I'd like to give viewers a brief recap of what we discussed in those sessions. And first of all, it was the fact that politics was defined as having one party the right to order and the other party the right to obey. In other words, we are looking at the legitimacy of this kind of relationship, power relationship, where one person has the right to give the order and the rest of us have to obey that. And this is quite natural in terms of the way human beings work. Second, we define those relationships in a bit more detail, and that was in terms of the fact that we describe them as being aristocracy, you know, traditional power relationships. There was a king, and that king gave the order and the people had to obey. And that was a kind of elitist type of power relationship, a sort of superior relationship. Then we talked about the rule of force, which is obviously the one that we are even experiencing today, which is the rule of tyranny. And the other one was charismatic power relationships, where we talk about people by the force of their personality naturally attract people to do certain things. So in this kind of relationship, even prophets have a role in terms of the attraction that they had towards their followers and giving them the guidance to follow and obey them. Of course, we are really looking at it from the Islamic point of view, and that is divine politics. And we are looking at the legitimacy of that politics from the fact that we have revelation, we have this order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are looking at it from the point of view of the Sharia. And of course, this means the rule of law, basically. And that's what democracies tend to espouse, but we don't know where the rule of law goes with them. But as far as Islam is concerned, it is talking about the rule of law. And it's thirdly, the point was that in this power relationship, we are looking at the goals of these systems, because the goals are entirely different. And the goal, basically, in the Islamic idea is virtuous politics, the politics of virtue and salvation, because we are talking about a system in which people can perfect themselves, raise themselves to a higher level of existence. So that's basically the recap of the sessions we spoke about before. But today we're going to look at some more detail with whether democracy, for example, is compatible with Islam. And we're going to do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. And I'd like to introduce my expert on this subject of Islam and politics. And I have the honor and pleasure once again of having Dr. Behrouzi of the University of Bakr al-Ulum. Assalamu alaikum, sir, to you. And thank you very much for being with us.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, I am at your service.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you. Sir, thank you very much for the couple of sessions we've had in terms of defining for us politics, basically simplifying it into a relationship between ordering and obeying. Of course, you were looking at it from the point of view that how does we legitimize that relationship? Yeah. Because it seems to be natural that human beings need to follow a leader. They need to follow somebody in order to guide them to something better. But of course, most political systems are leading people in the other direction. And we know what that is very well, so we don't need to go into that. But tell us, sir, in this particular session of our discussion, does Islam, is it compatible with democracy? Or I think, first of all, you'll have to define democracy for us, and then we'll see how this fits in with Islamic teachings.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At first, as you mentioned, let us talk about the meaning of the literal meaning of the democracy.
Of course.
When we compare Islam and democracy, it is important to notice that what is the meaning of, what do we mean by the word democracy? Sure. For the role of the people in politics, several vocabulary and terms are used, like democracy, mobocracy, and populism.
Uh-huh, populism, yeah. Yes, that's yeah. Right.
Mobocracy is term used for the role of the people in negative implication
sure,
and connotation.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Mobocracy means that every general and every good or bad people, mm-hmm. maybe some humble people, maybe not even bad people, mm. yeah, they gather in politics. It is called mobocracy.
Right.
Here, this term is not positive. Mm. Its implication is very negative.
Right.
Yeah. And second vocabulary is populism. Mm-hmm. Populism is implicates and implies that the people, not by the individual rights, not by the individual characteristic involved in politics, for the gathering, yeah, for the population. Mm-hmm. This vocabulary also is used in negative connotation.
Sure, sure.
But the positive word for the role of the people in politics is democracy.
Yes.
Democracy implies that the people individually, mm. aware people, mm. they know their rights and their duties, and they participate in political relations. Yeah.
Sure.
So democracy means that the individuals mm. participate mm. and have a right to participate in political affairs and involved in political relationships.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when we talk about democracy, of course, it is coming out of Plato's thesis right back in ancient Greece.
Yeah.
But of course, the modern day definition of democracy is defined by the United States, of course, where President Lincoln defined democracy as being of the people, by the people, yeah. for the people. So
for
this is
people.
Really a bottom-up relationship. This is where yeah. people themselves want to determine the leadership by which they want to be ruled. This is why we have parties in Western democracies, where we have conservative, very sort of right-wing parties, and we have liberalist labor on the other hand. But this is just part of the mechanism of
yeah.
how people determine what
yeah.
their leadership is going to be.
Of course, you mentioned Plato.
Mm.
Plato was against the democracy.
Of course.
Because he was believing in a philosopher king.
Of course. He
his
believed
idea,
in elitism. He believed in the
yeah,
superiority of the rule
his
of
His idea was
that
politics
mm.
must be managed mm. by the expert
yes,
people
yes.
who has such an ability.
Thank you. I stand corrected.
Yeah. General people.
yes.
General people do not, according to Plato, do not have such an ability.
Shouldn't have any
to
participation
power,
in
to
the
manage
system.
The society.
Mm. Yeah.
So Plato's idea was the philosopher king.
Sure.
Or he introduced this idea, this theory for world.
Sure.
Anyway, but nowadays democracy is very popular.
Yes.
Everywhere, every place, we see that people are talking about their role.
Yes.
In
well,
politics.
We're seeing that in the uprisings of the Middle East at the moment as well,
yeah.
particularly in Egypt and Bahrain, for
yeah,
example,
yeah.
where people are demanding constitutional rights from the parliament itself,
yeah.
rather than just being dictated to by a king.
Anyway, nowadays democracy is very, very popular.
Yes.
Every, as you mentioned, in different countries, in
sure.
different movements even,
yes. Yes.
they struggle for their own rights in politics and establishing
sure.
democracy.
Absolutely.
But democracy here means the the government, by people, for the people, and for managing the people affairs by the people.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
The management of society by the majority of people, and it is considered as a kind of as a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So here democracy, finally, let us conclude here that mm-hmm. democracy means the government by the role of the people and for the people.
Sure.
And this is the general definition for the democracy.
Sure, absolutely. So, I mean, that now takes us to the next question, which is that if you're describing, what are the, as you've described, the basis of democracy, then how is that compatible with Islamic teachings? Does it have any role or not?
Yeah, of course. Let me, before answering to your question, mention that there are different models for democracy.
Sure.
When we study the ancient Greece, mm-hmm. we see that here there was a classic model for democracy. At that time, the idea of the individual person involving in politics was not accepted. There was a very, very open and general understanding about the democracy.
Sure,
at that
true.
Place, there was such a majority by election.
Mm.
Yeah, election and the majority of the after gaining the obtaining the majority, it was not possible at that society.
Sure.
So they were talking about the general meaning and understanding about the democracy. It was meaning that from every district, every city, every town, yeah. Somebody, some representative came to and gather in a gathering and deciding for the general affairs. Yeah,
sure, sure.
But in modern era, democracy is very, very more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, democracy has got the exact meaning. Yeah, in modern era, democracy is based upon at least three important bases. Yeah, the first basis is humanism.
Mm.
After Renaissance, humanism meant that the people's affair must be managed only by the people. Yeah, human beings must decide upon their own affairs. Yeah, by humanism, they were rejecting the role of the church, or even the role of the God, role of the religion in politics.
Well, this is true, because we have to make an important distinction here between what happened in Europe and what happened in the Islamic world, in the Muslim world, because of course when we talk about Renaissance and we talk about Europe, we're talking about the conflict that of course the church had with the state.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why, you know, even today in postmodern politics, as we discuss it, still the state is separate from the church. I mean, although even in the British Parliament, the bishops do have a role. The church does have a role in formulating legislation. So we can't simply say that the clergy is completely dismissed. Even in a secular postmodern context, the clergy does still have some role but it's some ethical role in formulating some sort of legislation. But basically, the argument that you're pointing out with humanism is the fact that, you know, that human beings themselves are going to determine their role, and they do that through a constitution
where
they have to determine their rights as stipulated by the state.
Yeah.
But of course, now we see that, you know, this normally leads to the rich and the wealthy and the influential, the more powerful, determining what rights they should give to the people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where democracy starts to fall down a little bit. But anyway, you can carry on.
You mentioned about the church, but the role of the church in modern democracy is not very important.
No, it has a very low profile.
Very low.
Yeah.
Usually, because of the secularism, it is not accepted.
Mm.
It is a separation between the church and religion and politics. Anyway,
sure.
We will talk about it.
Sure.
The first basics is the humanism.
Sure.
And because of this idea, the modern democracies are renewed and are very, very different than the ancient classic democracy of Greece.
Of course. Mm.
And the second basic is secularism.
Mm.
Secularism means, you know, the term secular or layman or laic means that the very, very general people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not expert people. Everybody.
Mm.
Everybody who lives in society is considered as a citizen.
Mm.
Yeah. Has a right to vote and participate in politics.
Sure.
Secularism means this general people must decide about their own politics and about their own society.
Sure.
So here, secularism means that this government is managed by the very, very general and open people.
That's right.
Here,
that's
everybody, everybody got the majority of the people.
Mm.
He has the right to govern the people. Yeah.
Exactly.
According to this idea of the secularism, religion has no right to intervene in politics. According to the secularism, even God or the religion has no such a chance.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, right to intervene in political relationship.
Sure.
Here, only these general people must decide about the politics. And the third basics for the modern democracy is the rationalism.
Rationalism,
you know,
yes.
Rationality is accepted in Islam also.
Yes.
But rationalism in Islam is different than modern understanding about the rationality. In Islam, we accept the role of the wisdom and accept about the rationalism. But in Islam, rationalism is very, very compatible with religion, because the God is creator of the wisdom and rationality, and also the God is the source for the Sharia and the law or Islamic laws. Yeah. So these Sharia laws and rationality finally are compatible with each other. But in modern understanding of rationality, rationality is self-sufficient. It means that only this rationality is complete and sufficient for the managing society and managing human affairs. Yeah. This sufficiency is not accepted in Islamic connotation. Mm. By these basics, we have an idea of the democracy in modern and Western.
When you raise the point that, of course, it's not accepted by Islamic teaching,
yeah,
that this kind of rationalism, as you say, that is just simply focused on. Why is that?
Yeah, look at, we accept rationalism, but we understand that our human wisdom is necessary, but not sufficient. Look at the reason that it is not sufficient, very clear. We cannot find any rational school of thought that is accepted by all the rational people.
Sure.
There is no such a school, idea, such a theory.
Sure.
Because even these rational people, they have controversy.
Sure. Dr. Bairouzi, we're just going away for a short break, but we'll carry on with this very interesting discussion on these very intricate differences between Islam and, as you say, rationalism as well. But we'll do that after a short break.
Yeah.
So please, viewers, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain, and we're with Dr. Bairouzi discussing Islam and politics. But really, sir, you were mentioning before the break about this argument about, you know, the use of wisdom by Islam, but for this argument with rationalism. But you were going back to humanism as well, weren't you? You discussed this as an important prelude. In a prerequisite in terms of what is democracy as it's understood in the West. So what is the confrontation between that, or the conflict, if I say, between that and Islamic teachings?
Yeah, let me at first notice to this point that when we are talking about the democracy, we must distinguish between two ideas of democracy. And basic democracy and methodic democracy. Democracy as a basic for society, and democracy as a method for managing the society. These two ideas are very, very different. Finally, we can say that Islam is compatible with the democracy as a method, but it is not compatible with the democracy as a basis and principle for managing the society.
Sure.
Let me explain more.
Yeah, explain, because you're saying that in terms of its principle, what democracy, as you said, because it is populist, it is, you know, amongst just from the people themselves, and anybody, as you say, from the materialistic, the secular point of view, can participate in that system. But what you're talking about is something different. You're talking about something that needs guidance, something that needs to be raised, as you said, in their station. So that's something entirely different, isn't it?
Yeah. If we compare Islam with the basic democracy, yeah, we must go to its principles.
Yes.
The first principle was the humanism.
Yes.
In Islam, humanism is not accepted in the way that is in modern understanding. Modern understanding, modern thinking about the humanism is not accepted by Islam. In Islam, there is a some kind of the God-centrism. The
That's right. It's God-centered.
And God-centrism.
Yeah, not human-centered.
Not human-centered. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It means that human beings are the creature of the God.
Yes, we are the creator.
As the creator. Mm. And so they must follow and obey the God. Even Islamic perception of God is very, very different than the modern conception of God.
Of course.
If we introduce the God in Islamic terms, God here is not as the only creator, but also as a Rabb or the Lord, or the literal meaning of Rabb in Arabic means that the source that educates, raises, and cares for the people. And he has a direct relationship with the educated people.
Yeah. Well, yes.
The literal meaning of this, the word Rabb, according to Islamic connotation, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Rabb is not only the master. Maybe we consider the master does not involve in the affairs. But this master involves in the affairs. And it's very important.
Sure.
So the God is cares for the people. Because of the this understanding about the God, the perception of God, so it, this kind of the humanism is not accepted.
Sure.
Of course, human is the successor of God, Khalifatullah, in Islamic idea, in Quranic idea.
Sure.
But not general and all the people are the successor of the Allah. Look at Mr. Ajaz, here is very important point. In modern understanding about the humanism, all the people, all of them, without an exception, they are all the successor of God, because humanism implies this idea.
Yes.
But according to the Quranic connotation and understanding, only those pious people and complete people are the successor of the Allah, Khalifatullah.
Yes, because we have this idea of this infallibility, which you know the prophets had. Which of course our imams had, but of course it requires, as a, as you quite rightly say, if you have to be the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be at least some level of perfection.
At least
some level
pious,
of pious level of perfection.
Virtuous
level of perfection before you can even be regarded as a representative.
Because Quran itself says, "La yanalu ahd al-zalimin."
Sure.
It means that
the tyrant
people are not considered in this regard. So human centrism is not accepted in Islamic connotation. Even we have a different conception and perception of God in Islamic teaching than in modern teachings. They are separate.
Absolutely.
And secondly, you know, according to the Islamic idea, those who understand better, they have a authority. They have a they are in a position that they can guide the other people. Look at, according to the secularism, everybody only has a one right, one vote, one vote, everybody, whether he's educated or non-educated.
To be honest, they don't even have that now. They were supposed to have one vote, but many of them are taken off the electoral register because of the elite have decided that they don't want their votes anymore. But there we are,
Look at, in democratic system, the professor, full professor of university, or in our understanding, the leader of the religious leaders, like Ayatollah, Lo Maraje, they are the same, they have the same vote as the non-educated people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But according to a Quranic idea, it is not accepted.
No.
Because
Allah says in the Quran, He says, are the ignorant like those who have wisdom?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ
Sure.
Ignorant people, not like the educated people.
Of course.
And of course, I noticed that. Please pay attention. We are talking about the basic democracy. It is not compatible with Islamic understanding,
sure.
But there is other understanding of the democracy as a method for managing society. It is accepted and it is compatible with the democracy. And the final principle in the basic democracy is the rationalism.
Sure.
And we accept, as I explained, we in Islamic idea, Islamic teaching, we have a philosophy. We accept the role of the wisdom, but role of them is necessary, but not sufficient. Sufficiency is really very, very different than necessity. We must use our wisdom for evaluating and analyzing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But is our rationality, our wisdom sufficient for managing our affairs, individual and public affairs?
Doctor, to make a distinction between wisdom, because of course, you know, in the Western context, this may be misunderstood, because what we are saying here is we are really talking about the intellectual argument of this rationalization, which of course is not sufficient. Wisdom is something that is given by Allah, of course.
Yeah.
This is not, this comes through revelation. This is the distinction we want to make here, because wisdom is not something that is a prelude in the leadership of democracies. I mean, some of them are not outstanding statesmen that they're going to make profound visionary statements for the future. A lot of them are very much in mundane politics. Yes, they just use rationalism.
I meant that intellectual thinking. Yeah?
Sure, yes.
According to the Islamic philosophy, it is accepted.
Mm.
A lot of verses of the Quran encourage people to reflect about the different affairs.
Sure.
This intellectual thinking is necessary, but not sufficient.
No.
So human beings need for the divine guidance.
That's right. They need revelation.
The Sharia,
through
the Sharia.
Yes.
So we need the religion to help us in managing society.
Sure.
So according to these principles, Islam is not compatible with the basic democracy, or we can restate it, Islam is not compatible with the Western democracy. Of course, democracy is not only the Western democracy. We have different ideas for democracy. We can introduce and find a suitable understanding about the democracy, and that will be compatible with the Islamic understanding.
Dr. Behrouzi, I think thank you for this particular session on what your ideas were in terms of whether Islam is compatible with democracy. But I think you've clarified the fact that, of course, you know, democracy itself is not a perfect system.
Yeah.
This is a system that has evolved particularly in the West. But of course, its value perception is entirely different.
Yeah.
And of course, from the Islamic point of view, we are saying, yes, some part of it is suitable from the methodology.
Of course, basic democracy is not compatible.
But basic democracy is not compatible, but we'll leave the discussion for what is acceptable of democracy in Islamic teachings for the next session. But it just leaves me to thank you for very much for your contribution today. And it also leaves my view to say to my viewers as well, I hope you've benefited from the program and understood the basic concepts that, you know, Islam is different from the basic democracy, which
or
is Western democracy as it's understood in the postmodern context. But it just leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for watching today, and goodbye.